From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Good morning and happy Masters Sunday to everyone. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. I'm Tyler Rocky. He's Barry Cronin. And boy, do we've got a great show on tap for you today. Barry, not only is it Masters Sunday, but there's only one way to celebrate Masters Sunday. And that's by giving away all this Masters gear that we've got, all this swag in here. If you're watching us on Twitch, we can show it to you right now. We've got this little Masters flag. We've got a ton of Masters hats. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to give those away throughout the course of the show. But let's start with this today, Barry, because Tiger Woods is back. He's competing, and I think he's doing a little bit better. I know he struggled in that third round he played yesterday, but all things considered, he has certainly outperformed my expectations for what I thought Tiger Woods would do heading into this Masters.
Right. I mean, last week on this very show, we talked about the great debate was, would Tiger even play?
Right.
So, actually, I didn't think there was any doubt that he would play. He played great the first 2 days. I mean, really, I think he was one over par after the first 2 days. He was tied for 19th. He was semi in contention, right? If he'd have shot in the 60s yesterday. But yesterday was a brutal day. Just the cold. He not only has a bad leg with a bunch of screws in his right leg from the car accident 17 months ago, he also has a bad back.
Right.
He had his back fused. So those two things really complicated thing. Normally, in Augusta, Georgia, you know, the temperature is not 50 degrees and the wind is not blowing 13, 14 miles an hour straight out of the west. So he would have had a more an easier time just walking around and just feeling better. But yesterday he had three-putt greens and a four-putt green, and he was limping around a little bit. He was hobbled. But yet I think as anybody who, I'm sure everybody listening to this show watched the tournament or listened to it on the radio, could hear the patrons showing their respect, showing their love for the guy, just for coming out and competing.
How about just the practice round alone with 35,000 people watching them?
Well, and that was Monday.
Right.
Now, Monday of the Masters, it was a beautiful day, right? That was the kind of day that you would want for the Masters. It was perfect.
And we should get that today, something similar.
Yeah, supposed to be high of 75.
Should be the best weather day.
It'll be a great weather day. Mm-hmm. But Tuesday was a complete rain out, so all those fans who were out there, or should I say patrons who were out there on Tuesday, were invited to come back next year, which is great. Wednesday was a semi-rain out. It was they kicked us off the course twice.
And that's right. You were there.
They kicked us off the course twice. And then that night, it poured rain again, lightning, thunder. They had tornadoes in the area. And then Thursday, Friday were kind of not normal Masters days. And yesterday was brutal. It was, I think somebody said that the temperature in Augusta, Georgia was about the same as it was in Augusta, Maine. So, you know, it was not a great day to play golf yesterday. And Tiger really kind of hobbled through, but you know what? He did a heroic thing and everybody knows it. And it's great. You can see him. He's in the twilight of his career a little bit. I think he will win another major at some point, but not this week.
So I'm glad you brought up the back that Tiger's dealing with, because all the attention right now is on his leg. Can he get through? Can he walk this course?
Yeah.
Can he walk the 72 holes over the course of a Thursday through Sunday tournament here? But I think you're right. One of the forgotten things about his injuries and what he's battling right now is, yeah, it's the leg, right? And boy, who would have thought he'd be walking at this point, let alone competing in a Masters tournament? But the back on top of that. And I wonder, going into that third round, yesterday's round, where he obviously struggled. It was the worst round he's posted at Augusta in his 93 rounds over a span of 24 years when he shoots a 78. But I wonder, was the emotional, physical, and mental toll that those first two rounds put on him, was it just too much to go out there for him for a third day? Listen, those first 2 days for him, obviously extremely dramatic, extremely exhausting on all three fronts, but I think it's expecting almost too much for a guy who we weren't sure would be walking at this point, let alone competing right now.
Right. Well, I don't think any rational human being thought he would win the tournament. I mean, you know.
The bettors did, but I don't know if they're the most rational human beings.
But as you know, betting is sort of, it's a popularity contest in a certain respect, and that's what changes odds, et cetera. Because a lot of people, the only golfer that they know is Tiger Woods, and so they just throw money on him. Well, he's playing. And it was a heroic thing that he did, but the third day was really tough, and the conditions were so bad. Had he had a 75-degree day and a little bit of humidity to help him loosen up, which the sun, I will say, the sun did come out a little bit late afternoon on Wednesday. And when that sun hits you in that part of the world, it is humid and it is beautiful. And so had he had that kind of day yesterday, he might have had an easier time of it. But man, yesterday was a tough day.
So are we seeing the Tiger Woods that we're going to be seeing for the course of the rest of his career? 312-332-3776. And how impressive is it to you that Tiger went out there and did what he did in this Masters tournament, just 14 months removed from a horrific, horrific car accident? 312-332-3776. I'm Tyler Aki. He's Barry Cronin. And I just look at, let's get into his rounds a little bit, okay? Specifically, I want to start with the first two that he posted on Thursday and Friday. And especially on Thursday, I was surprised that he went out there. He didn't just go out there. He competed. He finishes one under on that Thursday round. And I think when you look at his round that he had, too, it was nothing spectacular, really. I mean, a lot of his drives, I mean, how many drives did he put in the trees? And he just played really, really solid recovery golf. He just went out there and didn't try to do anything too fancy, didn't try to overexert himself. You could tell he was sort of saving himself because he knew this was going to be a marathon, not a sprint for himself. But he played extremely good recovery golf, I thought, on that Thursday round.
Right. And the thing about Tiger is that he's played Augusta National for so many years that he knows how to play the golf course. He knows where to miss.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think that when Tiger first came out, what impressed everybody was how far he hit it. But really, he has an exquisite short game. I mean, his short game is still fabulous.
Yep.
You can still see that he can practice his short game, you know, with his leg and with his back and everything. He got in his backyard and practiced his short game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think that's what carried him through really both the first two rounds. And it couldn't get it done yesterday.
I one of the things that I noticed, too, with him, and you bring up the short game, yes, that's one thing that he could practice and one thing that has certainly been a staple of his over his career. But especially on that Friday, or what was it, the Thursday, in the middle of his Thursday round, he had that one chip that it looked like, oh, no, you thought this was going to be the spiral downward of the rest of his round. And what did he do? He found a way to overcome that and post a one under on that Thursday. And then I just think the resiliency of his round, because it looked like, boom, all right, that's it. That's going to be it for Tiger in this round. Then you get to Friday, and boy, did he struggle out of the gate.
Yeah.
It looked like, oh, boy, we went from this is a guy who might contend to win to all of a sudden, is he even going to make the cut? And again, a lot of people had some tough rounds. The wind was howling, like you alluded to, on that Friday. But it looked like he was going downhill. I think he was, what was he, 3 over through four through the first couple of holes on that second round. And then all of a sudden, he flips a switch and plays really steady, solid golf the rest of the way to make that cut. And we in a tournament where we saw some big names miss the
really
cut.
Really big names.
Bryson DeChambeau. I get he's battling some injuries. Jordan Spieth. There were some big games. Brooks Koepka. Some big names that missed
Xander
that
Schauffele,
cut.
The gold medal winner.
So there, and here he is, Tiger Woods. He goes out there and makes the cut. I just was very impressed with the way that he battled through those first two rounds. But you could also sort of see the writing on the wall that
all right, is he going to be able to do this a third day?
Right.
Because, listen, it's one thing to make it through the first two and reach that sort of benchmark that I'm sure he set for himself of making the cut, but then getting to that third and fourth, it's a whole nother animal that he was conquering.
Well, and when you go to Augusta and you see the dramatic nature of those hills, this is a cliche now at this point where people say you can't appreciate by watching on TV, you can't appreciate the hills and how difficult it is to watch, to walk. And we had Mark Rolfing on the show last week, and he said he thought Tiger would have difficulty walking down hills. And that was something that Dottie Pepper, who was doing the broadcast for CBS, noticed, that he was having a hard time walking down hills. Just the up and down. And I think one way listeners can appreciate the hills of Augusta are to watch the putting, right? So, you know, the guys have to start the ball 10 feet to the right or left. I mean, these are very dramatic hills, and that's why they're being so careful on the green. So that's one way for people who haven't been there to appreciate how up and down the place is. I do think that when Tiger gets to a place like St. Andrews, where the Open Championship is going to be this summer, it's totally flat. So that's going to be an easy walk for him then, and he could easily be in contention in that tournament.
312-332-3776. We ask you, how impressed are you by the heroics of Tiger Woods coming back and putting together and making the cuts and putting together this performance at the Masters? 312-332-3776. So getting into some of his struggles, too, throughout this tournament, I think, obviously, yesterday the putting was something that we have not seen out of Tiger. 3-3 putts and a 4 putt.
Yeah.
Just not the Tiger that we would have expected to see out at the Masters. Even given everything that he accomplished in those first 2 days, if you told me putting was going to be his big downfall, I don't think I would have believed that heading into a third round there where he had struck the ball pretty well throughout the course of the first two rounds.
Yeah. I just think, to me, that the putting, I think he seemed to me, and again, I don't know, but he seemed to be pretty mentally exhausted by the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And the conditions were so unconducive to him, you know, playing well and to catching up with the leaders. You know, moving day is supposed to be Saturday, and right, he kind of moved in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And I think it all began to catch up to him, and I think he didn't really know, right, how hard. He knew it was going to be hard, but then he played those first two rounds. It was exhausting, and now you get to round three, and, you know, you could take a lot of ice baths, but when you have wind coming out of the west at 15 miles an hour, 13 to 15 miles an hour, and then gusts up to 20, 25 miles an hour, it's very stressful, and certainly not only the mental stress, but obviously the stress on his body, his knee, his leg, and his back. So, in a way, not surprising, but I, in a way, I feel like the poor putting was maybe a reflection of his mental exhaustion.
I was going to say, do you think it was more physical or mental with Tiger? And I think,
you know,
the putting,
Tiger is so strong mentally. I think all these guys, all these kids on the PGA Tour could learn so much from Tiger. I have so much respect for his mental game. And you remember the way his father taught him. I mean, his father was in the Green Berets, and he taught him how to be mentally tough. And if Tiger weren't mentally tough, he wouldn't be playing. He'd be sitting at home, or he'd be coming to the Masters dinner and hanging around or doing whatever he wanted to do. But his whole thing is competing. And I have a lot of respect for him because of his mental toughness. Most other players would never even be close to teeing off at the Masters, much less make the cut. Like you said, look at the guys that he beat to make the cut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's impressive, and he's 46 years old, and he's got a bad leg. And yesterday, the first 2 days, you could not see him hobbling. Yesterday, you saw him hobbling. He's using his golf clubs to help him get up like a cane.
Every step was calculated with him. Right, left.
Listen,
right,
he looks like me out there, for God's sake, and I'm a little bit older than he is.
I think, too, from the mental aspect with Tiger, when you are a child superstar like he is, I mean, how many times do we see these child phenoms just sort of burn out,
right,
let alone still competing at the age that he's at and at the level that he's at this point in his career and life? It's remarkable, and I think that's where the mental toughness is certainly highlighted with a guy like Tiger. All right, let's reach into our Masters Mystery Box here. All right,
we got a lot of stuff. Yeah, a lot of stuff to give away.
First giveaway here, and if you're watching us on Twitch, you can see this is going to be our first giveaway: a Masters hat. This is straight from the Augusta National Pro Shop here.
Hey, I have a question for you, Tyler.
What is your question?
Tell people how to watch us on Twitch.
You can watch us on Twitch by going to twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Wow. Say that again.
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Because it's early in the morning. People might not know. You know,
sometimes the computers aren't fired
up
yet.
You know, whatever.
All right. So let's go to a little bit of trivia here. All right, Barry?
Okay.
What winner of the 1930 Grand Slam founded Augusta National Golf Club? What winner of the 1930 Grand Slam founded the Augusta National Golf Club? If you are the first correct caller at 312-332-3776, that's 312-332-3776, you will win this Masters hat. I'm showing it right now on Twitch. This Masters hat straight from Augusta National, 312-332-3776. All you got to do, answer the question: what winner of the 1930 Grand Slam founded Augusta National Golf Club? And believe it or not, Barry,
I gave him a hint, right? Because I know people will know who won the 1930 Grand Slam.
So, believe it or not, Barry, there's 50 other golfers that were competing yesterday.
Really?
I didn't think you
were going to get to that, Tyler.
But that's coming up next. Can anybody catch Scottie Scheffler? We'll discuss that on the other side. You're listening to the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome back. It is the CDGA Golf Show. I'm Tyler Rocky. He's Barry Cronin. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment is sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. And congratulations to Steve in Oak Lawn. He knew that Bobby Jones was the winner of the 1930 Grand Slam and founded Augusta National Golf Club. He's walking away with a great hat. Don't worry, we're going to be giving away plenty more. And this is merch straight from the Augusta National Pro Shop down in Georgia. We've got a flag to give away, and we've got three more hats as well. So be listening for all of that. We'll give one at the end of this segment. We'll give one at 7:35 as well. We'll also give one away at 8:30 and 8:45 as well. So make sure you're listening for your chance to win all of this stuff. Also, we're going to have Bob Herrig on the show at 7:35, and how about this? A man who competed in this Masters, 8:35. We'll have Stuart Sink. He'll join us. And Michael Jorski from the Drive, Chip, and Putt Challenge. Local kid from Clarendon Hills. He'll be on the show at about 8:05. But let's get into the rest of the field now of what's going on at the Masters. I mean, you would have thought that this was the Tiger show, and boy, has it been throughout. But someone who's doing their best Tiger impersonation right now, Scottie Scheffler, he walks into this one with the lead. He's got a 3-stroke lead right now over Cameron Smith. And the question now becomes, can anybody catch Scottie Scheffler here on Sunday? And you're talking about two guys atop the leaderboard in that final pairing, and Scottie and Cam Smith, who were two of the hottest golfers heading into this tournament. And I look at it as, should we have seen this coming? Is it too much to think? I mean, think of all the top dogs that heading into this were struggling a little bit. Meanwhile, you've got Scottie and you've got Cameron. I mean, expensive putters, the ears.
Exactly, that's right. Scottie Cameron.
Their ears are ringing right now. But to have Scottie and Cameron playing the way that they are heading into this Masters tournament, should we have seen this coming, that they would not only be atop the leaderboard, but really dominating this entire tournament?
Well, they certainly were playing the best on the PGA Tour before they got here. We talked a little bit last week about how who could win this tournament? Is it the Horses for Courses crew, Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods, people who play the course really well, even Will Zalatoris, who's playing great, or was it the hottest golfers that would win or dominate and compete, contend? And I think part of it is the conditions are so challenging that the hottest golfers, the guys that are playing the best, have risen to the top. The cream has come to the top at Augusta National, which is an ultimate test of golf. So I think it makes a lot of sense that Scheffler and Smith. Scheffler has won, you know, as we know, three tournaments. He won the WM Phoenix Open. In the cacophony of Phoenix, where you have 500,000 fans exactly. allegedly at that golf
World's
course,
biggest party,
exactly. And then he won at Bay Hill, Arnold Palmer's tournament down in Orlando, and then he won the Dell Match Play, a great match play player in Austin, Texas. So he's got three victories in the last 2 months,
which is crazy because.
And he's risen to number one in the world.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's important to note here, too. And you look at these two guys, right, atop the leaderboard, 9-under, 6-under right now. They've been dominant over the course of this tournament. But heading into 2022, they had a combined one PGA Tour victory.
Right.
And now one of them is likely to be wearing a green jacket at day's end,
right.
which is incredible to me and just kind of shows that when you are playing your best golf, and I think Tiger says this all the time, you're just hoping a major lands in your hot streaks. And right now, these two guys are playing their best golf of their careers, and what do you know, the Masters just happened to land in this span.
Right, and Cameron Smith won the Players' Championship, which is a very different tournament, but it's a big tournament. So he and that's probably the best field in golf now. He's playing great. I mean, I think Smith threw a 74 in there.
Yeah, on the second
day. Mm-hmm. But he was 68, 74, 68. So.
Well, he was 68 on that first day.
Yeah.
But you're talking about bookended double bogeys, too.
Right,
and
absolutely.
Eight birdies sandwiched in between there. Imagine if he just bogeys those end caps
right,
there.
Exactly.
You're talking about a completely different tournament. He might be one back right now heading into this final day. And right. you're talking about a completely different sort of day and a completely different sort of vibe in that final pairing.
Totally. But it's interesting. Scheffler at the Ryder Cup, I thought this was his coming out. He played Jon Rahm one-on-one, head-to-head. And one of the reasons they picked Scheffler was because he's such a good, tough guy playing in match play, and he just annihilated Jon Rahm in that mm-hmm. Ryder Cup, and I think that that gave him an impetus and momentum to come into this season and to do what he's done, to really sort of understand that he could beat the best players in the world. And I mean, he beat Jon Rahm, who's a great player, head to head. So it's really going to be interesting today. He had his troubles on the back nine yesterday. He made it through up a couple of bogeys, but he recovered with birdies. But that last hole on 18, he easily could have made six or seven, and he came out with a five, a bogey. So he's three shots up on Cameron Smith right now. He's 9-under. Cameron is 6-under. A lot can happen in those first couple of holes. We saw it. Cameron Smith, as you said, double bogeyed number one. And it's a very difficult hole. And, three shots is nothing at Augusta National.
Right.
I mean, if he makes one mistake, if Scheffler makes a bogey, which is easy to do there, and Cameron Smith makes a birdie, now it's a one-shot game.
And you got to watch that guy for the next 17 holes, too.
Right, exactly. And then, by the way, Sungjae Im is 4-under. So he's five shots back. I just lost my leaderboard thing here. But anyway.
Can I give you a little bit of reason for why I'm actually sort of leaning this might be a Cameron Smith victory here? I do think he, in terms of the experience level, I mean, look at some of the finishes that Cameron Smith has had in the Masters. I mean, you're talking about a top five in 2018. He finished tied for second in 2020, tied for 10th in 2021. So he's had the better finishes in the Masters, and I'm wondering if this is sort of the year where he gets over that hump. Meanwhile, Scottie Scheffler has never finished better than tied for 18th.
Right.
So you're
this is only Scheffler's, what, second or third
And that's
Masters?
Another thing, though, because what is he? He's 25 years old, I want to say.
Yeah, he's 25. And Cameron's pretty young, too. Cameron's, what, 27, 28? I'd have to look it up. But he's a young dude.
These young guys in the final pairing on Masters Sunday, to me, I'm going to go with the guy who's had more of these sort of top 10 experiences here. That's why I think that I don't be surprised if Cameron Smith does go out and catch a Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. But on the other hand, man, I think Scottie Scheffler is, man, he's a tough, tough competitor. I just think he's, I who knows? You don't know. But
yeah.
anything could happen. But the great thing is, I think yesterday we watched the Masters, and I think a lot of casual fans just said, well, this is like just the coronation. He's just walking through, and Scheffler's going to win, and this is kind of boring, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because nothing happened. The leaderboard didn't shift that much, except when the guys under Scheffler were doing bad stuff. Yeah, Cameron's 28. I don't know. It's just, who knows? Anything could happen, and that's why it's going to be a great Sunday for the Masters because, A, the weather's going to be much better.
Mm-hmm.
B, you've got a guy.
You should see some low scores.
Three shots back is not insurmountable. You know, it's like being a couple up at a match play event.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could have a two-shot swing on any given hole. And now, that said, Cameron Smith can't be making any mistakes, because I think Scheffler has the ability to go out and make birdies. I mean, if Scheffler goes out and shoots 70 on a beautiful day, yeah, that's going to be a tough thing for Cameron Smith to overcome.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into this little Masters mystery box here. I'm going to pull out another hat. What do we have here? Oh, we've got this same one that Barry's actually wearing in our studios today.
If you're on Twitch, you can see me.
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. This is our next gem that we are giving away. And let's do another little trivia contest here, all right? Which renowned golf course architect designed Augusta National Golf Club along with the founder Bobby Jones, who was our last answer? Which renowned golf course architect designed Augusta along with Bobby Jones? And you will win this white Masters hat. I'm showing it on Twitch right now, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, 312-332-3776. Be the first one with that correct answer, 312-332-3776. We'll also talk to Bob Hare, get his thoughts on the Masters, all things Tiger. That is all coming up next.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
By the way, that last segment, sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. This segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. I'm Tyler Rocky. He's Barry Cronin. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. And now we go out to the Jersey Mike's hotline, Jersey Mike's a sub above, and welcome in Bob Herrig from SI.com. Bob has been doing fantastic work covering the tour for decades. He's been down at Augusta, a lot of Tiger talk with him. But Bob, as we welcome you into the conversation here, just how impressive has Tiger been that not only is he making the cut, but he's still here and still competing on this Sunday?
Hey, yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. You're right. I mean, the fact that he's still playing and playing at all is the thing I think we need to take out of this. You know, obviously he didn't have a great day yesterday, but I would have thought that there might have been a couple of bad days like that. I mean, the fact that he beat so many guys and made the cut and, you know, really kind of ran into some bad luck with the weather, because the cold weather is just not going to suit him at this point. You know, I thought a lot of his issues on Saturday were his back more than his leg. And, you know, so both of those things are going to be an issue going forward. But in general, I mean, if he can get through today and feel good about things, I think it's a huge win, and it's really an incredible feat that this has gone down this way.
Yeah, Bob, in order to get into the Masters next year, there's a lot at stake. Obviously, the Green Jacket's at stake. When you've got two, maybe three players at most, I think, competing. But what do you have to do to get into the Masters next year? Is it the top five or the top 10?
It's actually 12 in ties. So, you know, for the guys who aren't always, you know, necessarily going to get in other ways, today's a big day. You know, there's some guys up there who kind of fit that mold, who, you know, if you're not in the top 50 at the end of the world, if you're not in the top 50 in March, or if you don't win a tournament, if you don't finish top four in another major, you know, being top 12 today gets you back, which is, you know, no small feat.
Right.
You know, I'm just looking right now at a couple of names on there that are around that category. Like, you know, Cameron Champ is tied for 14th. You know, Will Zalatoris doesn't have any tour wins, and you know, I mean, he's also a tied for 14th. A day like today, Taylor Gooch is a little farther down. You know, there's just no guarantees, and so that's a big deal. That's sort of the tournament within the tournament.
Right. Right. And meanwhile, you have, obviously, do you think it's really Scheffler and Smith, right? Those are the two guys that we're really got to be looking at. Sungjae Im, he's at 4 under. He's 5 strokes back. Any chance for him?
I mean, you know, he'd have to shoot a low one. And you know, and if he shoots 4 under and Scheffler's over par, he's got a chance.
Right.
And, you know, Im played... He was well over par through 5 holes yesterday, and then like went. I think he played 5 under for the remaining 13 holes. I mean,
right.
That's pretty good. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I'm curious to see how it plays today. It's going to be dry. It's going to be hard. It's, you know, it's the weather's going to be better. It's going to be warmer. I don't know that we're going to have the wind, so that part helps. But the course is. You know, considering all the rain we had on Tuesday and Wednesday, and with all the wind that they've now gotten, the course is no longer soft. It's amazing how it's turned around, and I have a feeling it's going to be a pretty exacting test today.
Talking with Bob Herrig from SI.com, also the author of Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. I do want to get back to Tiger real quick. How important is it that he went out there and competed in this Masters?
Well, to be honest with you, I thought it was too soon. You know, I was surprised. And I think, you know, maybe to him it's important to show that he could do it. You know, I will say I don't think he comes back for any other tournament this week. You know, it's because it was the Masters. You know, and you got to give him a lot of credit for really, really bearing down and digging deep to do this, because I don't think he was quite ready. I don't mean from a golf standpoint so much as just physically. You know, what if the Masters were 2 or 3 weeks away and you just had that much more time to keep working on the rehab and keep getting stronger and you know, learning how to recover from a day of walking, which is he's basically having to do. You know, every night is an ordeal probably with calming that thing down. The ice, he said he does ice baths. So, you know, to get the swelling down. And then I'm sure, you know, he's got two trainers with them, or rehab physical therapist type guys. They're not identified. They don't really tell us who they are, but they're clearly around. And, you know, so they work on him in the morning. I'm guessing there's flexibility exercises that he does, and he needs work on his back. So this is a big deal to get this done. And, hey, look, he gave the game a great jolt. The crowd on Monday was about as big as anything I've ever seen at any golf tournament anywhere, just to watch him for 9 holes. Amazing. So in terms of importance, though, I think it was more for him. I don't know that it was a big deal otherwise.
You know, Bob, you've got this awesome book, Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, right here. I'm going to hold it up on Twitch. There it is. I got the hardcover. the other day, Bob. So thanks for sending that. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. I mean, and the great thing about for sports radio listeners, I mean, it's got pictures. You know, you don't even have to read. It's got beautiful color pictures in there. So it's actually a terrific, beautiful book. And, of course, the content is tremendous. But one of the things, Tiger's participation this week and all the all we talked about last week on this show was, will Tiger play, will he or won't he? And so he's really taken all other stories kind of off the table. One of which was the fact that Phil Mickelson is not participating in this year's Masters. where does this – I mean, it's so funny, Bob, when you think about Phil last year winning at Kiawah, winning the PGA Championship at age 50 at Kiawah Island. I mean, it was sort of like, wow, Phil's now on top of this rivalry. He's Mr. Mm-hmm. Social Media. He's so popular. He's this, he's that. And now suddenly, a couple of weeks before the Masters first of all, Phil – you know, disgraces himself with the whole Saudi Golf League thing. And then Tiger goes in the World Golf Hall of Fame. His daughter introduces him. It's a feel-good thing. And then Tiger is like the elder statesman at the Masters with this incredible resurrection of his body. I mean, I think Tiger's now on top of this rivalry again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's so weird. Tiger did Phil a huge favor this week by playing.
Yep.
Because it took a lot of the focus off of him. I mean, obviously, once the tournament started, Phil wasn't going to be a focus. But, you know, he was the subject of questions on Wednesday to Fred Ridley. I think there would have been more talk about him not being here if Tiger wasn't here. Because we didn't expect Tiger to be here. You know, we didn't think that was going to happen. And so Phil became a big talking point going in. What's going on? Why is he not playing? You know, the Masters said they did not disinvite him. They are leading us to believe that he could have played if he wanted to. So, all right, so if that's the case, why didn't he? Did somebody else suggest to him that he not? Did the tour? You know, all these things. You're right. It's crazy how it's flipped. I mean, I don't know that Phil was so much on top, but he was sort of getting the last hurrah by winning the PGA. You know, when he won the PGA, Tiger was probably not even on his feet yet. You know, he was still in bad shape from that car crash. We had no idea what was going to happen. Phil wins the PGA at 50, oldest major champion ever. You know, he should have been reveling in the glory of that all year and into this year. Frankly, if his game was in shape, he could be contending this week. This is a place he can still win. And he's not even here. And it's all of that's almost been forgotten. It's kind of sad, the whole thing. Regardless of how we got there, you know, or where you stand on all that, it's kind of sad that this is the outcome at this point, with really a cloudy kind of return as to how that's going to work.
Bob Herrig from SI.com joining us, the author as well of Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. You know, you brought up Fred Ridley's comments, and my radar always goes off when I hear the double negative of we did not disinvite him. In your eyes, Bob, why isn't Phil playing?
Well, you know, I thought one of the theories was that they didn't want him. And Ridley went out of his way to explain that Phil texted him and he was willing to talk to him about it. And the timeline suggests that they did give him some time to think about it before he decided to pull out. Now, did somebody else discreetly tell him, hey, look, you know, it'd be in your best interest to pull out? That's possible. I could see that. There's the possibility that he was suspended by the PGA Tour, which wouldn't carry over to the Masters, but the tour has some sway.
Right.
You know, so there could have been some back channel things there. The other angle then is, like, you know, maybe he's got a lot going on in his life that we just don't know about yet. You know, are there some personal issues? Are there money issues? Health? I don't think there's any health issues with him. But, you know, his statement was pretty loaded, you know, that he needed to be a better man and he needed to, you know, really reflect. And, you know, it makes you kind of wonder what's going on. So, and if he's got a lot going on in that regard, then I can possibly see why he wouldn't play golf. It's just not at the forefront right now. Whatever it is, though, it's a shame. It stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Bob, we've got Scottie Scheffler and Cameron Smith. Scottie's 25, Cameron's 28. Scottie's got a three-shot lead. He kind of he kind of there were some chinks in the armor yesterday on the back nine. What's your analysis of today?
Yeah, it's tough to lead the Masters for a couple of days, you know, when you've not done this before. The great thing he has going for him is he's got recency bias. He's won three times in the last 2 months, and he can draw on that. I think that's really important, you know. But he's got a tough guy he's playing with. I mean, Cam Smith just won the Players Championship a few weeks ago, and it's a 3-shot lead can be gone in an instant. You know, a birdie and a bogey, and it's down to one, and you know. So it's going to be a tough task. I mean, Cam Smith's, I think, in a good spot. You know, if he can put in, the guy makes putt after putt after putt. It's incredible. You know, so I think it's kind of setting up as those two. I mean, it's a little, you know, with all the excitement this week, it's a little bit too bad that there's not more players in the mix. You know, they really did separate. What Scheffler has done is phenomenal. He did shoot under par yesterday on a really tough day.
He did.
Even though he had some troubles, you know, he bogeyed 15, a birdie hole. Obviously that tee shot on 18, he got away with one there. You know, that could have been way worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the nerves a little bit there coming down the stretch. But, you know, maybe that helps him get over it. You know, it's like, okay, I weathered that. You know, so, but every day is a new day. You never know what you're going to have exactly. And today might offer the opportunity for some guys to put up a number and make those guys play.
Bob Herrig from SI.com. Real quick, before we let you go, you do have this book coming out, Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, comes out April 26th. What are readers going to find in there?
Well, I think there's a good number of stories about their interactions, their sort of tension and drama and, you know, maybe nitpicking and infighting. And that there's a bunch of that over the years. You know, it's nothing egregious. It's just, you know, two guys that were competitive and saw the other guy as a threat, you know, and there was a lot of moments of tension throughout their careers. I also tried to highlight just how great they have been as players going all the way back. I say it all the time. Phil was Tiger before Tiger. People of a certain age, you know, all they know of is how great Tiger was as a young player. You know, he was on TV and we talked about Earl, his dad, and all the hype he had coming out. You know, Phil was kind of the same. I mean, his dad wasn't as much in the forefront, but his dad taught him. He was an excellent player in junior golf. You know, as high school golf, he was being recruited to colleges as a freshman. He was the guy. People knew who he was, just like they knew who Tiger was 5 years later. He won a tour event as an amateur, the last guy to do that. You could make the argument that if you just took their amateur careers and knew nothing about them as pros, you'd think that Phil would have had the better career. And Phil had a great career. It's just the Tigers is phenomenal. So I sort of take you all the way through that to last year. And frankly, you know, I need another year to add a couple more chapters here at the end. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I need an addendum or, you know, a paperback so I can add all this recent stuff, which is really amazing how they remain relevant.
You know, and I would just want to say the book talks about the rivalry and it explores the rivalry. And it also, when you read this book, the history of it is just unbelievable. The detailed history of it and the insight. And the book reminds you of so much that they both did over the years that you tend to forget as you kind of go through the maelstrom of information in the lives that we lead, you know. And this, Bob, I think you did a great job of articulating and crystallizing the history of the things that these guys have done. I mean, on the show last week, I mentioned to Tyler that Tiger playing your whole chapter on Torrey Pines and Tiger winning there on a broken leg and how the caddies could hear his bones cracking as they walked from the tee to the green. I mean, it was just so so insightful and so much great detail and written by a great reporter who's been around the tour for many years. I won't even say how many years, Bob, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I like to say I started early, just like those guys.
Exactly. Well, 15 years old, we were out covering the tour, right?
Exactly. Yep. Couldn't drive, but we got credentialed.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. Bob Herrick, SI.com. Be sure to check out his book, Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, and enjoy the rest of your Master Sunday.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
Thanks, Bob. All right. This segment has been sponsored by Geneva National Experience, 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Our thanks to Bob Herrick for joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. We'll take your calls 312-332-3776. And we're also going to give away another hat when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. I'm Tyler Aki. He's Barry Cronin. This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tullymore Golf Resort. All right, let's give away one of these hats as I reach into our Masters mystery box and I pull out this green gem right here. This one, you're watching it on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We're giving away another one of these hats from the Masters, straight from Augusta National. You know what? Since Scottie Scheffler's got a nine under right now at Augusta, let's go with three shot lead, nine under. Let's go with caller nine right now. 312-332-3776, and you will win this Masters hat. I'm showing it on Twitch right now, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. 312-332-3776. We're going to talk to Michael Jorski, who won the drive, chip, and putt down at Augusta last week. He's coming up next. This segment has been brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive. We will do that with Michael Jorski, and we'll tell you who won this Masters hat and get to some other Masters stuff. You'll hear from Tiger Woods as well when we come back. 312-332-3776. Caller 9, you're going to win this Masters hat. We'll be right back on the CDGA Golf Show.